Welcome to the BMT Sustainability Podcast with me, Del Redvers, Sustainability Director at BMT.
And me, Laura Blake. As Head of Sustainability, I've supported BMT's sustainability agenda for 7 years and have dedicated my career to driving sustainable development and responsible business practices.
We have a shared interest in the complexity of shaping a better world. And together, this is our first experience of delivering a podcast.
We're super excited to give this a go and hugely appreciate you being with us on this journey, exploring the diverse and dynamic world of sustainability as we work to deliver purpose-led change.
Our world is full of complex and interconnected challenges, where it isn't always possible to reduce ideas to a single soundbite or statistic, and often where there isn't an objectively right or wrong answer. We want to talk to people across our business to get their ideas on sustainability-related topics, and in doing so, to improve our thinking as a business.
This podcast is our attempt to do just that. In each episode, we will explore different ways of looking at a wide range of challenging topics, prompting us to think critically and stay open to change.
So, thank you for listening, and let's get started.
I'd like us to kickstart this podcast with a topic that's been on my mind, and it's the phrase environmentally friendly. In the corporate world, we're seeing more regulations and standards to prevent misleading environmental claims, and we're seeing organisations being held account for exaggerating the benefits of their products and services. Yet, in my day-to-day life, I still see environmentally friendly being slapped onto lots of different things, from online advertisements, supermarket groceries, and television commercials. Is all of this stuff truly beneficial for the environment? Is this something that resonates with you, Dale?
Yeah, it really, really does. But tell me, why are you looking for it? Why is it a term that interests you at all?
I'm drawn to it because it tells me that what I'm buying is a good standard with regards to its environmental impact. And where possible, I do try to ensure that my purchasing decisions are more favourable to the environment. But in all honesty, I don't think products and services tagged as environmentally friendly are always that beneficial. And I'm thinking that because in sustainability, we are always reminded about the trade-offs and how one benefit can often come at the expense of another as far as the environment is concerned.
Yeah, so it makes sense then if we think of it as a simple way of telling a story, of communicating the credentials of something. And that's why you're looking for that term, because you want to know it's the right thing to buy. But what you're saying, and I completely agree, is that we don't actually know what it's saying. And for me, that's one of the biggest problems with the phrase environmentally friendly or its variants like eco-friendly. What is it actually saying? And when I interpret it, do I interpret it in the same way as the manufacturer or the provider of the service meant it to be intended? Now, let's be generous in our assumptions that when people use the term, they're using it with the very best of intent. They're not just trying to greenwash and pretend it's a good thing when really it isn't. So the products and services that get labelled as environmentally friendly genuinely have some sort of credentials. Are they the credentials you care about? So what is it you care about when you go shopping for something?
So I think a number of different aspects. If it's a product I'm looking at, I'm thinking about the materials that have been used, where they're from. Could there be a risk of modern slavery? If I'm thinking about the environmental footprint of the product, I'm usually looking at things like whether or not it could be recycled or its durability and things like that.
And there's a lot in there, right? There's a lot of different things. So it's where do the materials come from, their life cycle, it's the labour, it's the social impact, it's the environmental cost of manufacturing, all of that stuff. That's a whole lot of stuff to wrap up in one word or one phrase. And so you can see the appeal of having that simple phrase to catch lots of ideas to make it understandable. But how can you have some sort of consistent understanding across it? And I think one of the things that bugs me most about environmentally friendly as a term is that it draws us into this idea that something that's labelled environmentally friendly is fundamentally good for the environment. It is friendly to the environment. And I would argue that most of the time, the things that are labelled environmentally friendly aren't actually friendly or good to the environment. They don't create a net benefit to the environment. They're just somewhat less harmful than another option. So maybe what we're really talking about is stuff that is a bit less environmentally harmful, not environmentally friendly.
I definitely agree with this theory and principle. My thought is, if it's less environmentally harmful, could the use of the terminology environmentally friendly still be a good thing? So even if the impact isn't as good for the environment as what's being advertised, it's still better than selecting an alternative that could be worse, or the product or service that was being sold by that organization before. So yes, maybe, you know, by buying into that, you're not having the positive impact that you thought you were, but it is a less negative one, which is why it's a bit, I was a little bit concerned raising the topic, because the overall use of the phrase could actually be pushing society in the right direction in terms of making the best decisions that people can in terms of the products and services that are available today.
Well, I agree. I think the issue for me with that point is that it allows us, I think, it gives us an excuse to not think. And what I mean by that is when somebody says environmentally friendly, whether it's on a product or a service, and whether this is a business to business service, or whether this is a thing you're buying in an online sales platform or whatever it is, or in your local fashion store, if it says environmentally friendly, you've kind of got license to stop worrying about it, right? That's your cue. You've done your bit. You've chosen environmentally friendly. That's all you had to do. And they've taken care of everything else. This product is a good product. This service is a good service. And I think that lets us off the hook. I think it lets us off the hook by telling us we can continue to produce, consume, or do stuff. We don't have to make this thing better. We don't have to test what we're doing or why we're doing it. We can just trust this is now a fundamentally good thing. And I think most of the time it probably isn't. It's something that could get better. It should get better. And we should challenge ourselves on how to make that so. And so it gives us the phrase environmentally friendly, allows us to be complicit in this sort of a sense that we all want to do the right thing. And somebody's made it really easy for us. They've put this label on it. And now we don't have to try very hard. Do you think that's the case? Do you think we can just... It encourages us to not aspire to better? Or do you think it actually drives the market to produce more environmentally friendly things in the future?
Yeah, I think it can create the illusion that by simply purchasing something labelled as environmentally friendly, you know, we've done our part and there's no further responsibility. And I think I'm probably guilty of that if I'm trying to purchase something quickly and I've not got much time. But it's a shortcut to make me feel better, maybe, not a shortcut to buying the right thing. I think that's the most concerning thing here, and that's what you're making me think about more than anything.
But feeling better is okay, isn't it? I mean, you're allowed to feel good about your decisions.
I think you can feel better about your decisions, but I think even if you've made a better impact, you need to own the negative impact that's still happening because of the decision that you're making.
I completely agree. I think we do need to own that more. And it brings me on to another issue with the term, which is that when you use the phrase environmentally friendly, it kind of suggests there are only two states, environmentally friendly or environmentally unfriendly. And that makes it rather binary. And I don't know what you think, Laura, but I feel a lot of the way the sustainability narrative plays out is it's reduced to binary things, that climate change will either be fixed or not fixed. The energy transition will either be a just transition or it won't be a just transition. Something is environmentally friendly or it's not environmentally friendly. None of these things are binary. They're all much more nuanced than that.
It's a really interesting perspective that I hadn't initially considered. And I think you're absolutely right. There's these more complex layers that sit between these binary terms, terminology like environmentally friendly and environmentally unfriendly. And I think if we want to get to a place where we're driving more action, we actually need to be thinking about the spectrum that sits in between, not using binary language. And I think that's brought us into a much bigger challenge here in terms of language and the repercussions that has. I'm just wondering for our listeners, do you have a more practical example potentially of where you've seen the repercussions of this binary language, something that we can visualize?
a really practical example of this. A few weeks ago, I was trying to buy a printer and I went onto the website of a really well-known manufacturer of computer printers, and they had a range of printers in the budget that I was looking for that broadly did the same sort of thing. And I noticed that two of them were labeled environmentally friendly. And I was immediately drawn to that. I thought, oh, great, okay, I can choose their environmentally friendly or their eco options. And then I thought, I'll dig into it a bit more to try and work out what it was that made them environmentally friendly. And it turned out that for these two printers out of this range of half a dozen or so, they were environmentally friendly because they consumed slightly less ink than the other printers in the range. And I wasn't sure how to feel about that because I have no idea if ink consumption is the biggest environmental impact of printers, or if it's energy consumption, or if it's life cycle to do with the manufacture and disposal of the thing. Making my choice actually became a lot more complicated. And I thought if I'd only just stuck with the word environmentally friendly, that would have reduced my options from 6 down to 2 straight away. And I could have done, you know, been enabled to make a good decision. Actually, trying to dig into more information and maybe what I thought do the right thing overcomplicated it and made it harder to make a decision. Can we expect people to really analyze all these aspects, going right back to what you said at the beginning about all the things you think about? Can we expect people to analyze all of that stuff every time they engage with a product or a service?
And I think on that same subject matter as well, can we also trust that manufacturers have considered all those other options and those other things within that printer and actually made a judgment call that they were all on a comparable level? The one thing that was different was the ink that they were trying to sell to you.
And that's a phenomenally good point. The idea that actually we're relying, when we come across that, we're relying on the person who's using the term environmentally friendly. And in whatever context, and we're sort of talking about products for sale here, but it's certainly not just limited to that, because as we said, the term appears everywhere. But we're relying on the person who's using the term to have done the work for us. We trust that they've considered all of these things and decided that this is the best option from an environmental perspective. Do you think a product or a service can be environmentally friendly in itself? Can it be an inherent quality of a product or a service? Or is it always going to depend on what your the context, what you're fundamentally using it for, how you're going to use it?
Yeah, I think it's a really challenging question, because we certainly, like we said, we want to believe that something's environmentally friendly. Can we believe it? Is there such thing out there? I remember talking to a close acquaintance of mine who works in the fragrance and beauty sector, and her role is around regulating chemicals. And she was telling me that organically grown roses are not necessarily better for the environment than flowers and roses grown less naturally, like in a laboratory. And this is because of the amount of pesticides, or it's down to the amount of water being used, and then them having to be transported further. And it was a really interesting conversation, because often we associate the word organic with being more friendly for the environment. And I think we'd find that when we looked into a whole range of different products and services, the things that are sold at, you know, the best impact in terms of what they are, and how they're made or how that service is provided, I don't think we'd ever find something that was purely 100% environmentally friendly.
Yeah, well, so chemicals is a really good example, isn't it? And sort of agricultural farming is an interesting place to look. You can find products, you can find fertilizers and herbicides and all sorts of things, pesticides, that are labeled environmentally friendly because they're slightly better than other products in the market. But that product would rapidly stop being environmentally friendly if you were discharging large amounts of it into a watercourse.
Yeah.
Then it fundamentally wouldn't be. So I think that takes us to an interesting point, which is that you can't discharge your own personal responsibility for the environmental impact of stuff by using the term or engaging with the term environmentally friendly. It doesn't take the burden off you, partly because it's all about how you choose to use the product or the service, whether an individual or a business, that will determine what outcomes are really achieved. And if we accept that it can't just be, you can't offload your moral responsibility to do the right thing just by looking for that term, then what is it enabling us to do? What does the phrase actually allow us to do? How does it enable us?
I think it has a place in a world where corporations are trying to be more purpose-led, to create ambition and create vision and create a place in terms of where they want products to go and where they want to be. Because if we stopped using words like environmentally friendly, we could say this product is less harmful for the environment, but it's not as appealing for the person buying into the product or the service. So I think it's visionary. I think it creates meaning in that space.
I think that's such a good point. I don't know how we get that balance right, Laura, because I think at the moment, as a society, we've got it in the wrong place. I think that if people looked at a product or a service and thought that, well, it's labeled environmentally friendly, I know that really means slightly less environmentally harmful. Therefore, I'm going to act in a way that, you know, recognizes that this is still causing environmental harm in terms of the way I use or consume it. I think that would be a much better place. And I don't think that's what happens. I think people look at it and they say, oh, great, environmentally friendly. This is an environmentally friendly office building we're sitting in. That is an environmentally friendly piece of furniture that we procured. Therefore, we're doing our duty. We're doing our best and we don't have to do anything more.
So ideally, we need people to understand the reality of the word and what it means when they see it. And presumably then the next best scenario could be to stop using the terminology altogether. And I think we should explore this a little bit more. I'm thinking that at BMT, we design search and rescue vessels that can be driven in a full electric zero emission mode when they're not required for an operation. But when they still need that capability for search and rescue, the vessels can be used and switched into a diesel electric mode. And in terms of the technology, this is advancing in terms of what we had before, and it's better for the environment. So when we have projects like this, when we're providing services in a better way and we're engaging with customers about how to reduce the environmental footprint, how do we communicate that moving forward if we're not going to be using terminology like environmentally friendly? Are there better ways to communicate this with our customers?
Well, in our business, I think we have a great opportunity to do much better than that, because we aren't selling to the general public. We sell things to highly knowledgeable customers who engage quite deeply with us often in the technical aspects of the work that we do. A customer wouldn't buy something from us because we said it was fast or efficient, but they'd want to know, in what way is it fast? In what way is it efficient? And in the same way that we don't need to use terms like environmentally friendly in our business, because we should be seeking to have a much more engaged discussion with our customers about what is it? What is the evidence-based thing that we're really talking about here? Are we talking about reduced fuel consumption, or are we talking about life cycle aspects, or are we talking about construction methods, or what is the thing that makes this particular thing environmentally friendly? And I think that's an opportunity many companies, certainly those that sell directly to the public, don't have, because when you go to the supermarket and you buy an environmentally friendly product, it's really hard to become knowledgeable about the factors, the environmental impacts and the social impacts of their manufacture. And it's much easier to have a simple label that helps us navigate through those things at that point of decision making. And that's a really powerful thing. But our customers in BMT, our customers don't have that same point of decision making where they're doing it in the blink of an eye with no background, no context, and no specialist knowledge about the thing that we're talking about that they're procuring.
No, I agree. And on one side, I see that the thing that people buy into when they work with BMT is our skills, it's our expertise, it's our knowledge. So we can talk through the impact of our products and how it makes a difference. We're not looking to get products out the door fast like the FMCG markets. We're looking at products over a much longer time frame, and we're working with our customers. So we have the ability to be able to talk to our customers about this stuff. So that's on one side. And maybe this is a question more for the marketing team, but where I think maybe I'm challenged is, okay, if we solely take the approach to staying more clear of using the words environmentally friendly and being more explanatory in terms of how we talk about this and how we educate our customers, do we risk being less competitive than lots of our competitors out there using these terms all the time that don't necessarily create as good products as us, but are using this jargon and therefore getting more customers because that's where their ambition is, that's where their purpose is, to try and lead a more sustainable and environmentally friendly business?
And doesn't that give us the opportunity to do better, though, when you look at it from the other end, which is that actually by not using generic, vague language that's hard to understand that we hide behind, instead we use specifics, evidence-based, tangible information and examples that help to differentiate what we're doing from the background noise. And that helps create the space to both to inform and educate customers, but also to differentiate our product and service.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I think transparency here is hugely key. And I think our customers need to understand what it is about our services and our designs that support them in making a more positive impact. I think where I could possibly challenge this is where we see customers who are going against the grain or who really do care about the environment, or perhaps are under increased pressure to respond to regulatory requirements or standards. And we see this coming out of the International Maritime Organization in terms of how the shipping sector is moving, trying to transition towards net zero. And our customers are under increased pressure. And I think this may mean that they are looking for a quicker answer or trying to find out quickly which organizations are taking this seriously. It means that we might need to think more carefully about how we use terms like environmentally friendly or net positive to quickly and simply demonstrate our credentials.
I think that's absolutely right. And for me, the language point here is really at the core of all of this, I guess because it's a language issue, being environmentally friendly. But I think we'll always be on a journey to environmentally better outcomes. And I wonder if we think about the things that we consider today to be just the normal way of doing things, they might have been seen as quite a high standard in years gone by. You know, the standard for, let's go back to what I mentioned before, chemical releases into water, other discharges to water. The standards we set now are much higher than they used to be as a society. Emissions to air, carbon emissions, all the standards we're setting are much higher than they used to be a long time ago. And so what we call environmentally friendly today almost certainly won't be considered environmentally friendly tomorrow.
We could use that lens in another way, I suppose, as well. What one culture may seem as environmentally friendly in a less developed country isn't necessarily what we see environmentally friendly in a westernized society. So we might buy a product that says environmentally friendly, and maybe the label's been put on that because the person providing the product from a less developed country genuinely thought it was environmentally friendly, but they were adhering to a different standard than we were.
Or the other way around, even. Which is that we consider something to be an environmentally friendly product, but actually there are much better ways of doing it in different societies and communities around the world than we do it.
Completely. And who probably understands the natural environments and local ecosystems better than we do and how they're being impacted.
And back to the earlier point about, well, can a thing inherently be environmentally friendly? Surely scale's got to be part of it. It could be environmentally friendly if you're producing one unit, but is it environmentally friendly if you're producing a million units? That totally changes the nature of the scale. So, okay, we've hashed out a number of the challenges here, and we've also picked out some of the plus sides. We've said that it helps us communicate with clarity in as much as people can use it to help differentiate at the point of decision-making, even though it's a bit vague and ambiguous as a term. And we've talked about it being a journey to some extent that we're going on, that the standard is ever changing. And I think part of that standard, something you mentioned to me before we started recording this, Laura, was the importance of understanding how the pressure on businesses in sustainability reporting and greenwashing is reducing perhaps the occurrence of phrases like this because there's a greater push to more evidence-based. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I think larger businesses have been more exposed and are driven to use more transparent language as regulations and standards evolve. And I think that in part, this is reducing the occurrence of terms like this. But I think we also have to remember smaller businesses aren't held to the same standards or aren't or don't have to follow the same regulatory requirements. The language is also being shaped outside of business through governments, media and communities by various degrees. So it's just remembering this is more than regulation that needs addressing. It's actually deep within our culture. And I think it's a mindset change that people also require.
That makes a lot of sense. Look, I think another point we should think about is my pet subject, which is that there always has to be a degree. We have to tolerate a degree of hypocrisy around this sort of language. I find it really tempting when somebody puts their head above the parapet, when a company puts their head above the parapet and says, this is an environmentally friendly thing, to immediately go looking for the reasons why it isn't and call out their hypocrisy. And actually, we should generally be celebrating the effort to make products and services less harmful to the environment and indeed positively beneficial as our understanding of how to do that improves. So I don't think we should always be critical of language like environmentally friendly. But I do think we should have a kind of sense that when you come across it, when you hear it, when you see it, or even when you're tempted to use it, a little alarm goes off inside your head and encourages you, reminds you to think about what is it you're really trying to say. And could you say it in a different way? Could you say it in a more focused, targeted and evidence-driven way? And when you're hearing it from somebody else, what is it that they're really trying to communicate and what lies behind it? So look, we've had a pretty good discussion of what it means and what the issues are. You raised the question in the first place. What do you think about it now?
I think there's a risk that we're unintentionally using the term environmentally friendly as a shortcut to feel good about our choices. And I think I may be guilty of that. But moving forward, I think I really need to ask myself, am I really making a difference or am I just buying into that comforting language? So we need to challenge ourselves to think deeper, to act more responsibly, and really remember that progress isn't just about choosing the lesser evil. It's about pushing for better.
That sounds like a great place to end it, Laura. Thank you for helping me think through this this complicated topic. I found it a really enjoyable conversation. And thanks to everyone for listening. And I hope you join us for the next one.
Until next time, let's keep questioning and striving for more honest impact.